Following is a talk that I'm about to give here in Brooklyn. The topic is Kedushas HaBayis, maintaining the sanctity of the home in daily life.
I'm deeply grateful to Rabbi Leibish Becker, to Rabbi Avram Nissen Pearl, to Rabbi Mordechai Ort of the Torah Project Commission of Agudat Yisrael of America for having invited me to come to speak to all of you here today, and to literally thousands across the country who will see this video located throughout America and Canada. I would also like to proclaim a public Yasher Koyach to Rabbi Mordechai Gelber for all the wonderful work that he does here in Brooklyn, for his Hakel organization, and for his technical assistance in producing this shiur today. Bilam HaRasha was asked by Balak that he should curse the Jews. So Bilam takes a look with his prophecy, he looks around the Midbar, he looks around the desert, and he sees the temporary tents of Klal Yisrael, and he sees the future dwelling places in Eretz Yisrael, and he has no choice, and he proclaims the following: Matoivu oyalecha Yaakov. How good are the tents, the temporary tents of Klal Yisrael here in the Midbar, Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. How good are the permanent dwelling places of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch on this pasuk in Bamidbar Chavdalet pasuk Hey points out that Bilam said, Matoivu oyalecha Yaakov. How good are the tents. He didn't say how beautiful. Beautiful is something that's only temporary. Beautiful is something that can change. Beautiful is something that's superficial. When we praise the home of Klal Yisrael, it's with goodness. Matoivu, because goodness is a characteristic that's eternal. And that's something that we say every day. We all know that when we come to shul in the morning and we begin davening, we say that which Bilam said, Matoivu oyalecha Yaakov, Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. However, what many people are not familiar with is the second sentence that Bilam HaRasha explained. He compared Klal Yisrael to many different things. And one of the things that he compared them in his next sentence was Ka'arozim Aleimoyim. The homes of Klal Yisrael are like cedar trees along the water. Why did he choose Arozim? So the Malbim tells us, Arozim Hein Kavuim, the cedar tree stands, it's tall, it's prominent, it's going to exist for a long time. And that's what he wanted to say about the homes of Klal Yisrael. But I was thinking that perhaps there's another reason why Bilam used the expression that the homes of Klal Yisrael are like cedars, karozim. It's a very interesting medrash that tells us that when Yaakov Avinu found out that his beloved son Yosef, who he thought was dead, was actually alive and was down in Mitzrayim, Yaakov was so excited, and he packed up all his belongings, and he took his family, and the Pasuk tells us, in Bereishis Memvav Pasuk Aleph, Vayisa Yisrael. Yisrael, who was Yankov, went, V'chol HaShaloi Vayovoi Be'er HaShava. They came to Be'er Sheva. So the Medrash asked, that's not the way to go to Mitzrayim. He wanted to see his son. Why did he take a diversion? Why did he go off the highway, so to speak? And the Medrash tells us something fascinating. Yaakov Avinu remembered that something went on in Be'er Sheva many years ago with his grandfather Avram Avinu. Yaakov Avinu remembered Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva. Avram Avinu planted Eshel, according to one shot in Rashi, was a pardes, was an orchard. And over there with this beautiful orchard, Vayikra Shem Shem B'Shem Hashem. Over there he proclaimed Hashem's name. We all know people would come and they would eat from these beautiful fruits, and then people would say, thank you, Avram. And Avram would say, don't thank me. It's only because Hashem that this tree grew. It's only because Hashem that they have these beautiful fruits. So Yaakov Avinu went and he cut down that Eshel. He took that tree and he took it down with him to Mitzrayim. And then, later on, when Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, after they left Eretz Yisrael, they were in the Midbar, and he says, Vasisa es akrashim, make the planks. So Rashi says, what do you mean the planks? Make planks. What's the planks? Were they special? And Rashi says, yes, of course. They were oindim umyuchadim, they were designated years ago. Yaakov Avinu took these wood from the Eshel, those cedar trees, and he planted it, and he made them grow into pieces of wood, and he cut it down, and he said to his children, there's going to come a time when the Eivishter is going to ask you to build a Mishkan. Take these arosim, take these trees, these wood that I have planted, take it with you. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, Umitam zeh rotsa Avram she'eitzim she'yishtamshu behem le'mishkan lo yiyustam eitzim. Avram Avinu understood way back that the wood that you have to use to build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be some wood. It has to be that wood which caused a Kiddush Shem Shamayim. That wood which was the Eshel, which Yaakov Avinu went back to get that Eshel, that holy wood. That's what he wanted that Klal Yisrael should build with and build the Mishkan. He said, "Shekol nitiyosam va'isik v'hem yir l'shem shamayim." That the whole binyan had to start l'shem shamayim. Memela, that's why I believe that's what Bilam understood. Ka'arozim aleimayim. When you build a Yiddish shtub, when you build a home, when you build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to start way back in the beginning. It has to be the Kedusha. It has to be with the purpose of Kiddush Shem Shamayim. That's why Bilam understood Yaakov took Arozim, and not just Sam Cedar, but the Arozim that he got from his grandfather, the Eshel of Avram Avinu. And if that's the case, then we can appreciate the most fabulous verse that I've ever heard when it comes to a chosen kala and sheva brachas. The Heilige Satmar Rebbe used to say that there's a Yiddish expression by a chosen kala, the zivug zol oile yofa zayin. Normally, what does it mean? Oile should go up, yofa should be beautiful. We want every chosen and kala to build a beautiful bayis nemen be Yisrael. What does it mean? It should be oile yofa, should be special. So the Satmar Rebbe said that in Yiddish, the word oile means to be begematria. For example, Rashi uses the expression, the word Ava is oile 13. That means Ava is begematria 13. The word David is oile 14. David is begematria 14. So the Satmar Rebbe says in his genius, the zivug zal oile yofa zayin. Yofa is begematria 95. Look it up in the Sefer HaChinuch, you won't believe it. You know what the 95th mitzvah in the Torah is? V'asu li migdash v'shachanti v'soicham. Make for me a migdash. Zot the Satmar Rebbe, when we give a bracha to a young couple that's getting married, it should be oile yofa. Every home should be a migdash ma'at. And of course, if we want that the home should be a migdash ma'at right from the beginning, Rav Palm Zal Gesundzayin tells us a beautiful taich and an expression that we wish every chosen and kala. We always say there should be zeicha to build a bayis nemon b'Yisrael. What does that expression mean, bayis nemon? And Rav Palm quotes a Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva that we should all know in Elul and as we come to the Yemei Aslicha. The Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva, Perikei Halacha Bey, Al Yavar b'machshavcha dover zeh. Don't let this idea come into your mind, she'aymim tibshei umas ha'olam, that the silly nations of the world say, v'roiv gol mei b'nei Yisrael, and even silly people on Klal Yisrael say, she'akadosh baruch hu goyzer ala odom etchilis v'riyosa, that Hashem is goyzer, Hashem decrees whether a person is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. That's not a given, it's all up to you. Ein adova kein, ela kol odom roi liyoy tzaddik k'moshe Rabbeinu. Every one of us can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Palm says, what do you mean every one of us can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? It says in the Torah, loy chein abdi Moshe, Moshe is not like everybody else, v'chol beisi nemonu. He's the most trusted person that I have. So what do you mean the Torah is telling you, the Rambam is telling you that we should be like Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rav Palm says, no. What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was Neman? He was trustworthy. Every single talent that he had, every ounce of strength that he had, everything was L'shem Shamayim. That's what it means to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course we can't be like Moshe, but we could have that capability that Moshe had. What does that mean? Everything that we possess, whatever level it is, any talent, any energy that you have, put it into your home so it should be a Mikdash Ma'at. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. B'chol Beisi Nemon Hu, everything that he did, it was trustworthy, he did it L'shem Shamayim. And that's something that we can all do. As a matter of fact, Avraham Avinu himself, it says, Rapam brings, Atahu Hashem Alikim Hashem Bachata Ba'Avram V'yitzeisi Murkazim V'samta Shmai Avraham V'matzasa Yislavovai Nemon L'fanecha. Avraham Avinu, which we say every morning in Baruch David from a pasuk in Nechemiah, he also had that quality of Neman. That's the pshat. We want every home to be a bayis Neman. Take the talent and make it beautiful. Make it a Mikdash Ma'at. So I want to talk to you about some people who have extraordinary talents, and then later we'll come to regular people like us. But we can learn from these people. Many of us here in Brooklyn know Yonah Weinreb. A fantastic artist. Come to his home and see the artwork on the wall in that home. And you walk in and you think it's a Mikdash Ma'at. That art isn't just some art. It's Sukkim. It's Medrashim. You have to learn that art. You have to learn and understand the depth of every line of that art. And it's all over the house. You walk in, that's a Mikdash Ma'at. If any of you are going to be in Eretz Yisrael Sukkot, let me give you a great address where to go. There's a fellow, Yankov Weisberg, an elderly gentleman. He lives 72, Rechoyiv Mei HaShaarim. You have never in your life seen a sukkah like this. This artist brings the season to life in a way you cannot possibly imagine. And the beautiful artwork, the history of Klal Yisrael is in that house. And walk into his house and see the Kreisel and see Tatzlif. It's Mavel HaRayim. You walk in, you're in a Mikdash Ma'at. That's what it means to take your extraordinary talents and build a Mikdash Ma'at. When I was growing up, my family, we had very close friends, the Deutsches, in Spring Valley. I don't know if any of you were ever zoicha to come into that home. Four brothers, Label, Zalman, Yossi, and Nochum. Never have you ever heard Shmiras like that. People from all over Spring Valley would come Friday night just to hear those four boys sing Shmiras. Many of us, Taka, have beautiful voices. And that's what we have to do. Zmiris Friday night, whether it's with harmony, whether it's a geschmack, you take that talent and you bring it into the home. And that's the pshat b'chol beisi nemon hu. As a matter of fact, there's a frightening medrash. Kavadet Hashem mohinecha, the pasuk tells us that a person is supposed to be mechavad Hashem from his treasures that Hashem gives him. So the Pasuk is in Mishlei Gimel, Pasuk Tet, and there's a Yalkut Shmoni there. If you want to look it up, it's number 932. It tells a tragic story about Novais HaYisraeli. Novais had a kerem, he had a vineyard right next to Achav, the king Achav, and Achav wanted to have it. And Novais didn't want to sell it to him, and Achav got angry, and he spoke to his wife, and he says, what are we going to do about this guy? He doesn't want to sell us the kerem. So they made a whole bilbul, a whole plan, and they made a fast day, and they said that Novais cursed Hashem, and he cursed the king, and they end up killing him. So the Medrash says, what did Novais do that he deserves to kill? He deserves to be killed. Frightening! Let's listen to what the Yalkut tells us. The Yalkut tells us, Novais hayakoylei noa. Novais had a beautiful voice, and he used to go to Yerushalayim, and people would like to hear how he would daven, how he was about tefillah. And then what happened? Pamachas Loyola. He didn't feel like going. He was too tired. He was too lazy. Whatever it was. I don't want to go. Everybody's waiting. This is the voice that's going to inspire somebody. You got the talent. You're not going to give that talent that you have that the Abish gave you. What do you think he gave it to you for? To make CDs? To make records? You have to daven. You have to inspire somebody. That's what you're all about. So if a person doesn't want to get up to daven and he's got a beautiful voice, the Medrash says, that's why Nebuch, he was Mechuyav Misa. What's your purpose in the world then? There are a lot of people that are collectors. We have this thing, we can't throw out anything. So there's some people that collect teddy bears. And then you go into the house and have a beautiful array of teddy bears. What message are you sending to the kids in the house? There's some people, okay, I hope nobody's going to mind, I happen to know this fellow. Whiskey bottles. All kinds of shapes of whiskey bottles. That is cute. But what message are you sending to your kids? Go to Muncie and see the home of Mrs. Belle Rosenbaum. The mezuzah covers that she has, thousands. All kinds of mezuzah covers, modern and old. She even wrote a book about it. It's amazing. You come into a house and you see all these mezuzah covers. It's beautiful. Some people like Hanukkah menorah. But it gives a message. If you're a collector, collect Yiddish Zachen. There's a fellow in my neighborhood, Moshe Lederer. He collects old Svarim. He has a Tanakh from 1554. He has a Rikanti from one of the Rishonim from 1538. A Tilim from Antonin in 1666. Of course, his children don't daven a modern Siddurim. His children want to have old Siddurim. They want to feel connected to the previous generation. When you collect something, you're sending it a message by osmosis to your children. What do you consider hardship? Collect mezuzah covers. Collect old svarim. That sends a message of kedusha, not African swords and artifacts. Before Matan Torah, Hashem used an expression when he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And I wonder if Bilam also didn't get this idea from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The Eibishter says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Koseim ala beis yankoi v'saged l'bnei Yisrael. I want you to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So Hashem uses two descriptions. Beis Yaakov, the house of Jacob, the house of Yaakov, and Bnei Yisrael, the children. So Rashi tells us Beis Yaakov is the women, Bnei Yisrael is the men. But why, Taka, did Hashem use those two ideas of Beis and Bnei? So Rav Volva has a tremendous sefer. The sefer, everyone should get it. It's in Hebrew and it's in English. A fabulous sefer. It's called Zriya Ubinyan B'chinuch. And he explains like this. If you walk into a city, you see a lot of different things that are growing. You see trees that are growing. How does a tree grow? A person plants a seed and that's it. The rest of it grows by itself. Hashem makes it grow. It's a natural, long, slow process. All he did was plant a tree. But then, that's natural growth. But then there's physical growth, where you actually build a binyan. Where you build a binyan and you build one brick on top of the other brick. If you stop it, it's not going to grow anymore. It doesn't grow naturally. And it's interesting, he says, tremendously. That's the two brochas that we make in Shemoneh Esrei. Boinei Yerushalayim, the Eibishter is going to build brick by brick Yerushalayim, and Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. It's going to sprout forth. It's a long process. Mashiach is called Tzemach. And Zechariah tells us, Kehinini maybe it's Avdi Tzemach. It's a growth process. So he says like this. Now, listen to this. How many times have we seen these words in Mesilas Yesharim? And we know when a tzaddik writes a sefer, many times the first four words in the sefer will be the Yudkei Vovkei. Each word will show us, will be the first letter of Hashem's name. So we would think until now, the Mesilas Yesharim did the same thing. Yesod HaChasidus V'Sheirish Ho'Avoida. Yesod is Yud and Hey, HaChasidus V'Sheirish is the Vov, and then Ho'Avoida, Nochamol Hey. He says, no, there's an ingenious message here. If you want to reach that highest level of chassidus, which is the hearers of the mitzvah, it's yesoid. There's a binyan. There's a foundation. And then shoyrech avoida. There's a natural process of growth. And I believe that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us, Bayis, Beis Yaakov, and Bnei Yisrael. Beis is a house. There's an atmosphere when you walk in the house. That's the planting. You do certain things, and that avirah, that air, all of a sudden you walk into the house, you feel something different. There's something special about this house. What is it? We're going to feel in a few minutes. What is it in a special house? That's Beis Yankai. And once, a mother, that's why it's talking of the mother who sets the tone so many ways in the home, the atmosphere, then Bnei Yisrael, then the father can teach the child how to learn, and he teaches them the mitzvah because the kid wants to learn, because he's in that atmosphere. That's the pshat. Beis Yankai and Bnei Yisrael. So I have a daughter-in-law in Eretz Yisrael, and a couple years ago she was at a shir that Rav Moshe Aaron Stern gave. Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, the wonderful biography written by his son about Rav Moshe Aaron. Moshe Aaron was a Mashgiach in Kamenitz. So after he gave a shir on chinuch, my daughter-in-law said to him, you know, my son is 6 months old. When do I begin chinuch? And you know what he said? Well, everybody thinks he said 6 months too late, but he was more positive than that. He said, it's never too early. And she said, what am I supposed to do for a little child? Listen what he said. He said, surround him with mitzvahs. Whether it's a little boy or a little girl, if they're awake, even if they're in the stroller, when you're benching licht, let them be there. Don't keep him in the bedroom if he's up. When you're saying tillim, he should be right next to you when you're saying tillim. When you're davening, when you're shaking that lulav and esrog, he's 6 months old, but it makes an impression. It's surrounded by mitzvahs. When a father is learning at home at night, it's very important to learn in the house. Of course it's important to have shiurim and shul. But don't make any mistake. Your children have to see that you're learning. They don't know what you're doing in shul. And I'll tell you a great story about a fellow who's a rav today in a place called Calabasas in California. His name is Yaakov Van. He told me many years ago he was still learning in Lakewood. So he was in Eretz Yisrael one summer. It was getting late at night. And somebody called him in for a minyan, for shiva. There was a shiva minyan. And he comes all around and he comes into this minyan, 8-9 people, they're waiting, talking for a tent. And everybody's with these triangular yarmulkes that you see people wearing at the kaisel. Obviously they weren't frum people, but they needed a minyan. They were sitting shiva, the father had died. So fine. He stands, and as he's davening from Netzer, when he's read the Chazor HaShas, he takes one of the Svarim off the shelf, he sees it's a Mishnah Berurah, and it's taka all marked and underlined and written up, and as the pages look worn, he couldn't understand it. I mean, these are guys, nobody's from here, who lived here? So he stayed after the davening, and he was Menachem Avil, and he said to the people, excuse my asking, but who lives here? They said it was our father. Your father? And he had these svarim, and he learned, like, I hope you don't mind my asking, but like, what happened to the kids? Listen to what they said. Said, you know, we never saw our father. He was a working man. He would get up early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and he would lock himself in his office, and he would learn. By the time we got up, he was already in shul. And then at night, he would come home, he ate supper with us quickly, he'd lock himself in his office. Man, we knew he was learning in there, but we never saw him, he never spent any time with us. So that's what happened. If the kids don't see the father learning, so therefore then they get, it doesn't mean anything to them. They have to get that impression. And the Belzer Rebbe said a phenomenal verse. It says in Dvarim Chavtes Posik Chavtes, Hanistoroi L'Hashem Elokeinu. Those things that are hidden, so that's Hashem's department. We can't know that. Hanigloi Slonu V'neinu Adoylam. That which is revealed to us, that we have to be Makayim forever. But the Belzer Rebbe said a Gevaldik Avart. If you do mitzvahs privately and your children don't see it and they don't know what you're involved with, they don't know you're learning, they don't know you're talking, they don't know you're davening, only God is going to know. Your kids won't know from it. But if you reveal it to them and you let them see every the good things that you're doing, then it's going to be lanu levanenu adolam. Then it'll be for them and for their children. You do a mitzvah sucker, don't brag, but let your kids know. I know people that often, especially before yontas, they'll go into a grocery store and they'll say, I'd like to pay the bill of this and this person in the neighborhood. Whether it's a young Kailo family or it's a Sama family that doesn't have a job. He doesn't tell anybody. But he tells his children. Of course he tells his children. Those children will know when they get older and they're making money, they'll do the same thing. Otherwise, how are they going to know the Gevaldika things that the father does? Tell you an amazing story. Maybe some of you heard this story. Rabbi Lezer Silver, after the war, he went to the DP camp. And people were broken. And people told him, you know, our children were taken from us and we gave children away to the Catholic missionaries because we wanted them to be saved. Many of the parents, Saka, died. Years later, now it was after the war, some people wanted to know if their children are still alive. So Rabbi Lezer Silver, the tzaddik that he was, he went to some of the Catholic missionary homes and he came in there with a young couple. And they were looking for children. How are you going to go recognize anybody? And so now what happens is all the kids, they all look the same. They're all wearing the same Catholic uniforms, all with the same haircuts. How are you going to know who's a Yid and who's not? And the parents are talking to Rabbi Lezer Silver. They say, Rebbe, maybe it's our kid that's here. And what could he do? And Rabbi Lezer Silver said, I'm going to find out. And he goes to the head mistress there and he asks her, do you have any Jewish kids? She said, nah, no Jewish kids. Maybe someplace else. So Rabbi Lezer Silver gets up and he says with the same nigun that mothers always sing the Shema Yisrael. and he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And a few kids come running forward and they say, Mother, Mother, because it brought back to them that hailing is Shema that the mother said with the children. They hadn't heard it in years. And now when Ebenezer Silver said it woke up, that Yishma that the kids had. That's what a mother has to do at night. Dancing lessons, tennis, all these things are wonderful, but not at night when your kids need you. About Shuma just told me this Shabbos, every night he stands outside the door and he listens to his wife sing Shema Yisrael on little things, and he says he sits and cries every night. That's the Yishma. That's the Avira. That's the bias that we're looking for. And then you can build the Bnei Yisrael. I remember my father, Zichrono Livracha, Sukkot, a whole day he was in the sukkah. If he wasn't doing brisin, he sat in the sukkah a whole day. Now this goes back, my father's been there more than 30 years. Nobody had cell phones. But he had an extension put in so that the telephone could be in the sukkah. And he had a Svarim Shank put in, so he had a Shas there, and he had a Chumash there. Go to Eretz Yisrael Sukkot, all the Rosh Yeshivas, that's the place you should go for tourist attractions. Not to the Ramada and the Hilton. Go to all the Rosh Yeshivas, many of their wives speak English. They're all sitting in the Sukkah. That shows the Chavimus HaMitzvah. How many times, what's our attitude? If it's not a Kedayis, I could eat it outside. Just the opposite. Everything, you'd be surrounded by that Mitzvah. My son just called me from Eretz Yisrael. Told me he took his son, the little boy who was 6 months old a few years ago. Now he's going to Cheder. So my son says, you know, Tati, I remember what you did for me. He says, remember the first day I went to Yeshiva, you wrapped me in the talis and you took me to Tiferes Moshe? I said, you remember that? That's more than 20 years ago. He says, Tati, I'll tell you the truth. I don't remember walking into the Yeshiva, but all I remember is how many pictures you took of us on the porch. You made such a big deal about it. I could never forget it. I forgot it. But he didn't forget it. And so therefore, when his son had to go to Yeshiva, he wrapped him in the talis because he remembered something from so many years ago. What pictures do we have on the wall? Again, my daughter-in-law in Eretz Yisrael, after she heard about from Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, every gadol that we ever went to visit, she takes her children and she takes a picture with them. So there's a gallery in her house. Rav Rafal Smolevitz and the little boy. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky came to Eretz Yisrael. They took a picture with the little boy. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum was there with the little boy. Rav Nosson Zvi, everybody there except me and my grandson. I don't know, I'm also, but okay, I have to strive for something, I guess. But okay, I'll deal with that. That's what you hang on the wall. Athletes? How could you let your child hang an athlete on the wall? Let me read you something. I read, it wasn't in the Yateb. But listen to this. Some of us, not everybody knows, the football season began yesterday. So, let me tell you a paragraph in the papers. And what would the NFL season be without a few players in trouble with the law? Oakland signed someone, I don't even want to mention his name in the base medrash, despite the fact that he faces legal problems in 4 states. $158,000 in bad checks in a jewelry store in Missouri. He gave a fake name to the police after a bar fight in Wisconsin. Over $34,000 he owns in child support to kids in California that he fathered. And felony charges because he took $1,000 in recording equipment in a store in Kansas. That's who are hanging on the wall? NBA players who owe child support in 4 states because they have kids that they never got married to the mother? I don't care if they're 6'7" and 240, they're low. They're nothing. Of course, we all take pride. You're in New York, so you want your New York teams to win. But let's not get carried away. Those guys shouldn't be hung on the wall. They should be hung other places. Just because a guy with his elbow can behead a quarterback, that's the reason to make him a hero. Or he can dunk so that the whole glass is going to shatter. That's a hero by us. I believe in sports. We're going to talk about that. Kids should play sports. It's very important. But don't let them hang on the wall. I'm not talking to kids, I mean the players. The Svarim, when you come into a house, should be in full view. That's the first thing your child should see when he walks into a living room or a dining room. Don't keep your office back in the back of the house or in the basement where the kids can't see anything. It's a message that you're giving over. Svarim shouldn't be covered. You look over there. You see the Svarim. You know, it's a Mokim HaMikdash. Not in a fancy credenza where everything is closed and the kid doesn't know what's behind it. And all the Svarim are so shiny, it looks like they just came out of the box. Let the children see that Svarim are in a full view. And as we said, the wife sets the tone for so many years until the husband gets to it. Listen to this story. Broke my heart when I read this. Rav Aryeh Levin, one night in Yerushalayim, was in a cab. So the taxi driver said to him, "Where's your home?" Wants to know where to take him. Rav Aryeh Levin didn't answer. He said, "What street do you live on?" He told him, "This and this street." And then Rav Aryeh Levin said to him, "From the time that my wife died, I don't have a home. All I have is a street where I live." Imagine, that's what a wife is. That's how we have to appreciate our wives. They set the tone of a home more than we do. We're busy. We're outside the world. We have to give them tremendous recognition for the Beis Yaakov, so that we should be zeicha to build B'nai Yisrael. Every day in davening we say, "V'chulu makablam aleihem ol malchus shamayim zeh mizeh." Everybody is makabel, all the malachim are makabel malchus shamayim, v'noisim ba'ava, and they give with love, reshus zeh lazeh, permission one the other, lahadish liyotzram, to sanctify their creator, v'nachas ruach, with tranquility, v'sofa, brura, with clear articulation, v'ne'ima, with zizkeit, with sweetness. And maybe that which Chazal l'kaveya from malachim is a symbol of what should be in our family life. Let's listen to these words once again and think about it as family. Everybody in the family should get Yerushalayim one from the other. The father is inspirational, the older brother, the older sister, the mother. The Nisim Ba'ava, they give with love, Rishuz Delazel, let each one grow. Lahadish liyotzram, we're all here for one purpose, to be Mekadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nachas ruach, with tranquility, no yelling, no screaming, v'sofa brua v'ne'ima, with zizkeit. If there's no shalom bayis, you can't build kedusha in a house. If there's tension, the whole house is focused on every aspect of every single petty argument. There's no time, and there's no head, and there's no relaxation to build Kedusha. There's an amazing Mishnah, an amazing Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah. Many of us who daven Ashkenaz say Friday night, Shloisha Dvarim Tzarech Adam Lomar V'Sech Beisai, three things a person has to say in his house, Erev Shabbos, Yisartem, did you give Maaser, Yiraptem, did you make the Erev, Hedlikos Aner? Listen what the Tiferes Yisrael says. He picked up on the lesson. Why does it say B'Sech Beisai? Three things you should say in your house. Let it say, Lebnei Beitei, you should say it to the people of his house. He says, Rotzoloyma Shaloyoyma Bekoli, they don't yell it out loud, they're going to hear it outside the house. If you're telling them, it should be B'Sech Beisai, not when somebody walks out the window, he hears the father yelling his head off, or the mother screaming. Shloisha Dvarim Tzorech Lema B'Sech Beisai. People outside the house shouldn't hear what's going on. The Gemara tells us, Al Yatil Adam, Eima Yaseira B'Sech Beisai. Don't make your place a house of terror. There are a lot of kids that are afraid to come home. Rav Matisyo Salomon always says, he says such a gavaldic word. He says many of these kids that are on the street, they're not dropouts. They're pushouts. You know why they're pushouts? Because we yell and we scream and we make believe that the house is a classroom. Take it easy. It's an Ore Miklat. It's a place where a child should feel Hamish and Varam and a sanctuary. That's what the house is all about. Not to yell. How many times have I given the example? A little boy is at the table and the mother tells him she takes the milk and put it in the refrigerator, which is 2 feet away. She says to him, "Don't spill the milk." You think this kid's going to spill the milk? And what is that message? That means he thinks I'm such a schlump that I can't even walk 2 feet to the refrigerator without my mother worrying that I'm going to spill the milk. And what happens if he spills the milk? Is it the end of the world? But look what you made the kid feel like. Don't be a parent for the sake of being a parent. Rav Palm in his wonderful Sefer Torah LeMelech tells a story about his mother. She lived to be 90. This story happened when she was 9. Imagine how many years she remembered it. She was a little kid. She was 9. She wanted to fast on a certain tinus. And her father didn't want to let her fast. She's a little girl. She's not mechuyev to fast. So she ran away from home. She went to one of her friends. A lot of kids run away from home to do other things. She ran away from home to do a mitzvah. She felt it was a mitzvah. A whole day people were looking for her. They didn't know where she was. It was a little bit unnerving. She comes home at night, after Seta Gachavim, I guess, and the Av Bezdin was there when she walked into the house. And obviously she looked pale, and the father understood right away, the father mother understood that she went to fast. So the Av Bezdin says to this little girl's father, Afam Zeda, you have to give her a punch. You have to give her a moose, a shrek, a thing. She goes away, and she fasts. I would punch that little girl that fasted. They didn't say anything. The mother gave her supper. And then after, when she was already in bed, the father came and sat down on her bed and said like this, my dear daughter, I know you wanted to do a mitzvah. That's why you went away to fast. But you have to understand that when you're 9 years old, and the Torah says that you shouldn't fast, your mitzvah is to take care of your health. Mitzvah Hashem, when you get big, you'll be 12, you'll be able to fast, you'll be able to do the mitzvah that way. I'm sure you're very tired. Have a good night. And he kissed her, and she went to sleep. That's how you give mussar. Of course, it's easy to yell and scream and get it off your chest. But I saw a great expression. The right temperature in a home is maintained by warm hearts, not by hot heads. And maybe one of the ways, which I spoke about in the Shalom Bayis tape, maybe one of the ways that we can begin to tone down is the first thing when you walk into your house. Abba Goldman, a marriage counselor, told me this. He told me, he tells so many couples, Atesach Chatos Revei, sin rests at the door. How many times a father comes in, he's had a rough day, he stops yelling and screaming the second he walks in. The first thing that you should say when you walk into your house is something nice. Oh, the kitchen smells great. I heard a great cheer today. I made a good business deal. I heard some news in Eretz Yisrael that's terrific. Something positive. Set the tone for calmness. Later on you'll say how crazy the day was. And the wife, when she sees the husband after a whole day, also the first thing should be something positive. I heard the kids did something great today. I baked a special cake. My mother called. She decided not to come. Something. Something that's going to make him smile. Listen to this verse. A tremendous verse that I just heard recently from Rabbi Yecheskel Monk, one of the Ramin, one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Tel. A gevaldik verse. The Gemara Megillah Chav Zayin Amud Beis tells us, and we're going to say four Amoraim. One was, they asked the Talmidim, they asked Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, V'maharach v'yomim, how did you live so long? Amar Lahem, he said, Miyomai, all my days, lo yasisi kapandi ol beis haknesses, I never took a shortcut from the shul. He gave other examples, but it's not important now. Then they asked another, Amoira, Rafreda, V'maharach v'yomim, how did you live so long? He said, well, Miyomai, all my days, lo shedmani odom lebeis hamedish, I was in the beis hamedish, the first one. He also gave other reasons, not important. Shalom Tamidim, Shalom Nechunim and Akona, they asked him, V'maharach v'yomim, how did you live so long? He said, well, Miyomai, all my days, lo yasisi. If my friend was embarrassed, I never felt glorified. Even if he was my competition, never felt glorified. Then they asked Rav Zera, "V'maharach v'yomim, how did you live long?" He said, "Well, he kvadati b'seir beis. I never got angry in my house." So Rav Yecheskel Monk asked, "What's the shot? Let's say you want to live long. So what are you supposed to do? You got 20 different things here. What are you supposed to do? How are you going to figure out what you're supposed to do? Listen to the genius teret that he got from the Netziv." The terrors is the common denominator. They all said the same thing. Miyomai. I always did it. It doesn't make a difference what you do, as long as you're consistent. That's what the children want to see. They want to see that my father and mother are Elah. And as the Tziv says, Bamidbar Tezvov Mem and Aleph. Not everybody serves Hashem the same way. Some are into Torah. Some are into davening. Some are into chesed. Even in Torah, there are different ways to do it. Bekiyas, Iyun, Tanakh, Medin, whatever it is. But be consistent. Don't be a faker. Take that mitzvah that you feel close in your heart and you do it every day. And the children see that. That's how you marach yom. And then it brings you your shalmi. Kol ha'oyseh mitzvah achat. Anybody who takes one mitzvah, whatever it is, metivin lai or marichin layamo. He lives a long life and he has everything good. And Rabun says, what's the pshat? Mi sheyachet loy mitzvah v'loy over alem oilam. Come dash a high water. It doesn't make a difference what it is. You're going to keep that mitzvah no matter what. I know a fellow, he won't let me say his name, who has done a chesed for other people every day for the last 20 years. You know what that means? To do a chesed for another yid every single day, more than 20 years? What do you think his kids are going to be like? How could they be anything but special? Because they know their father cannot go to sleep until he has done something for somebody else. If you have a Seder Chayoda, you have a Seder Shulchan Aruch, and there's a business call, and your son or your daughter sees, I'm not taking the business call. This is the time for my Seder. That's consistency. You know, they asked Rav Segal. They asked Rav Segal, should I speak Yiddish in the house? A lot of people feel that it's a big milah. Speak Yiddish brings us back to the previous generation. So Rav Segal said, Yiddish is a wonderful thing. But you know what you should concentrate more on? Concentrate on midas. And he said four things. There should be no anger in the house, no falsehood, speech should be refined and soft-spoken. That's what you got to worry about. Don't worry about the Yiddish. Fine, it's nice. If you know Yiddish, good, it's wonderful. But that's not what it's all about. Avodas Hashem is not in Yiddish, and these things, of course, it's Gishmak. But what's beautiful is midas, honesty. Tell you a story. Two stories. It happened in our home. We had some Bali Tshuva in the home. So one girl told a story, but she was a little kid. She lived outside Boston. They had a play in the school. So the teacher got a certain amount of costumes, but there wasn't enough costumes for everybody. So she said, Ma, I also want to have a costume. Only 10 kids got a costume. There's 20 in the class. I didn't get a costume. So the mother said, okay, I'll go to this place. She traveled an hour each way to get a costume. So now 11 kids in the class had costumes, and 9 didn't. After the play, 2 days later, the mother said to the little girl, I want give this costume back to the teacher. She's going back to that place anyway. She'll take it back. Unfortunately, the little girl forgot. 2 days later, the mother says, did you give back the costume? She said, I tell you, I said to the teacher she should take it back, and she said, no, I didn't pick it up. I'm not going to take it back. So the mother said, that's what the teacher said? I'm going to call her right away. So she said, Ma, don't call the teacher. I lied. She said, when she said the word I lied, the pain and the anguish in her mother's face was so deep, she told me it's 25 years since then. She has never lied since then. Because she saw what it meant to her mother that her daughter could say a lie. On the other hand, sitting at the same table was a young man. He told me he was born in Chicago. He remembered when he was a kid, he had a 5-speed bike that was stolen. And he remembered his father in the other room talking to his mother saying, you know, we're going to write on the insurance it was a 10-speed bike. I just will get more of the insurance back. He said, I'm a lawyer today. It's very easy for me to lie. That's how I grew up. It didn't mean anything for him to lie, so that's what he says. His father didn't even realize that he heard that. But he set that tone, and here's the greatest story. A Rebbe told me, a little kid in first grade, Rebbe comes over to the Rebbe, Rebbe, my tooth is loose. He says, but don't touch it, because otherwise it'll come out. So you tell a kid, don't touch it? Of course. Kid, you know, 5 minutes later, the kid is there, Rebbe, my tooth came out. Fine, tell him, rinse your mouth out and sit down, everything will be fine. Lunchtime, he sees another kid walking around with this kid's tooth. So he goes over to the other boy, the Rebbe, and he says, what are you doing with his tooth? Listen what this first grader said. He said, my father gives me $1 for every tooth that came out. His father only gives him 50 cents. Where did that kid learn that from? Maybe he learned it because he saw dishonesty at home. Didn't he think that the father was going to say, open up your mouth, let me see where the tooth came from? That he didn't think of. But the idea is that if children don't see consistency, there's no Kedusha, there's no hope for Kedusha in the house. Rav Gelli told me a tremendous verse. Rav Gelli from Washington Heights told me, very interesting Balaturim. It says when Ephraim sold the Maris HaMachpelah to Avram Avinu, so he sold it to him for Arba Meir Shekel Kesef Oyva LaSeicha. So the prophet says, Ephraim is missing a vav. And the Balaturim says, if you count up the gematria of Ephraim, it's equal to 400. So Rav Gelli said that he once heard, I think he said he heard it from Rav Meir Bergman, Ephraim is laughing all the way to the bank. What does he care? What is vav is missing or not, it's equal to 400. What's the Balaturim telling us here? He says the Balaturim is telling us a tremendous yesod. Every one of us in our own lives has to make money. But money is not what it's all about. Ephraim could have said to Avram Avinu, listen, To me, it's the greatest chus in the world to sell you this plot so that Sarah should be there. But I've got to charge you. I have no choice. I've got to put bread on the table. Avraham Avinu would have paid for it. Then Ephraim would have been written mole because he would have fulfilled his task. And of course, we've got to make money. But the whole purpose of doing with money is doing wonderful things. But that's not what Ephraim cared about. All he was interested in was the bottom line, the dollar. So what happened? Shtake Ephraim, no, not Paul. You're not your full personality. You haven't reached your potential. Money is a means to an end. We have to give that lesson over to our children. I'll tell you an amazing story. And all tellers will appreciate this story. Listen to this story. There was a man many years ago. This is written in the Sefer Tuvchei Abiyu. It says it happened to Rabbi Chana Vassam, and some in the family say it happened with a different girl, but it's not important. There was a very, very wealthy man who lived in Kharkov. His name was Rabbi Yomin Benish Dennis. Rabbi Dennis, beautiful home. One day, Rabbi Chanan came to Kharkov to raise money for his yeshiva in Branovich. It was a terrible storm, and there was snow and slush, and it was awful. And he didn't want to walk into the house and spoil the beautiful carpet. So he had been in this house before, so he decided he's going to go in the back. Because if you come in through the kitchen, so there's tiles there. There's not such fancy carpet. It won't spoil anything. So he knocks on the door and he says to Rav Dennis, he says to Rabbi Yomin, Rabbi Yomin, it's the Chana Wasserman, however he said it. He says, Rebbe, what are you doing to my children? He says, well, what am I doing to your children? He says, Rebbe, you're killing the chinuch of my daughter. He says, I never saw your daughter. He says, Rebbe, what's the whole purpose of this house? Cover that Torah. What good is wall-to-wall carpet if it's not wall-to-wall Torah? Chas v'shalom, don't walk into the kitchen. Come right through the front and walk right through. Walk right through the carpet. Your being here doesn't make a difference. The carpets are secondary to you. That was his attitude. That's the chinuch he wanted to give his daughter. So let me tell you who his daughter's married. His daughter's married two of Telzer Rosh Hashivas. Rav Avraham Yitzchak Bloch and Rav Zalman Bloch. Both of them, the brothers, are Rebellion Mayor. So I know that if you're in Telz, you need a scorecard to figure out the family. But let me just tell you this so that you'll know it. Rav Avraham Yitzchak Bloch, you know who his daughters are? One is Rebetzin Osband in Telz, Rav Isaac's wife. And the other is Rebetzin Sorotskin, Rav Baruch, over Shalom's wife. That's all from this chinuch of Rav Dennis. And the other one, Rav Zalman Bloch, you know who his daughters are? Rebetzin Gifter and Rebetzin Stein, Rebetzin Pesach Stein. That's how you have daughters like that. When you tell the girl, nothing about, what's carpet? What's wall-to-wall carpet? Come on, I tell you, that's what it's all about. When that's your attitude, then you're zeichet to such children. I remember once, Rabbi Frost Mulevitz told me, he says over many shmuzin, a pasuk in Noya, soyhar tasa lateva. What does it mean, soyhar tasa lateva? Noya had to have a form of illumination. So Rashi says two pshatim. One is a chalain, one is a window, and the other was, it was an Evan teva. That's how he lit up the whole teva. So Rav Paul said he once heard somebody ask, if you got the pshat of the diamond, what do you need the pshat of the window? The main thing was that Noyach was told to illuminate the teva. And he says, no, the pshat of a chalain is different. Noyach didn't only have to have that window to bring in. Noyach had to have that window to look out and see there were a lot of people that were less fortunate than he had, than he was. And that's what Rabbi Fuel tells all the Talmidim in Mir. Every one of us must have in our home that spiritual window. Soyar Tasa Lateva. Have that window that not only that brings in Bracha and Sheva, look out at those that have less family, less friends, less funds, less talent. Invite singles. We can't talk about that enough. One of the most painful problems in Klal Yisrael today. So many young men and young women without mates yet. And many of them are wonderful people. And they have to be Shabbosim alone and Yontif alone. And Almana recently said that those days of the year, those Yom Tovim that were the high point, are now never the low point. Imagine having to sit Yontif or Shabbos alone in a house, an older woman. We should have organizations that make sure that these women don't have to eat alone. If they want to and they want their privacy, you have to respect that as well. That's what Eishel is. You know what Vayita Eishel, Avinu B'chaya says, it's the Oishias Shin Aleph Lamed Shal. Avraham Avinu would ask the guest, what can I do for you? My house is open for you. We can't talk enough about what it means to have guests on Shabbat. The Batanura says, Yibeitcha beisvad l'chachomim. Beisvad l'chachomim means invite Talmid HaChomim, intelligent people, your children will grow from it. It's like walking into a perfume factory. You're going to be affected. And I can only mention all the speeches that I've ever given, all the books that I've ever written. It all started because I got to know Rav Shalom Shvadron. How did it start? It's a long story and it's not for now. Because my father heard Shmuzin on a tape from him. And he said that if this man ever comes to America, I want that he should come to my home. And if you read the Maggid speech in the introduction, you'll see, when he found out he was coming, I went, my brothers went, my Zayda went, my father went to see a man he never saw in his life. And Rav Shalom came and he stayed 6 months. And that's how it all started. The Maggid is him. The Maggid speech is him. He was the Maggid that spoke. And all the stories that we've all gained from, that we've all used, it all started because of Achnasat Arachim. I want to talk about two more points. We'll review and end with a great thought. Friday night, I started to answer. Friday night, he's the Rabbi Sherah of today, you know, with the clock. Except he has a beard. Likra Shabbos v'chuvin eilcha, kihi mekar habracha. Shabbos is the mekar habracha. You want to bring Kedusha in your home, you have got to make sure that Shabbos is the source of blessing. That's where the family bonds. Rav Matisyahu Solomon, who's not afraid to say anything today, says you don't only have to talk Torah at your table. Talk about anything. Bond with the children. The table is not a classroom. Of course you're going to talk Torah. But find out what's doing. In Tuvchei Abihu, Rav Zilberstein, the son-in-law of Rabbi Eliezer, who wrote the Sefer, told over such a beautiful thing. He said he once heard that in a certain home, every Friday night, it's a great thing to do. Every Friday night, all the children have to tell a story about their siblings, something good that they saw the siblings did that week. Isn't that a beautiful suggestion? Because then everybody's always complaining, oh, she did this, he did this. But if you have the obligation to look for something good that your brother and sister did, so then, of course, when you say it over at the table, look at that kinship and that warmth that it brings to the table. I have a son-in-law who gives mitzvah notes. What does that mean? Anything that the children do throughout the week, my daughter or my son-in-law writes it down, and then Friday night they read at the table. Nechama helps mommy during the week, and everybody says yay. So everybody's waiting for that mitzvah note. Rachel helped watch the baby. That's a mitzvah note. They write it down during the week, they bring it to the table Friday night. It's a warm. Zmiris is a time when you get closer to your children. Every single one of us should bench our children Friday night. It was something that my father didn't do. For whatever reason, his father didn't do it. But I've adopted it. I don't think it's anything wrong if you add something to what your father didn't do. Bench your children Friday night. I was in Cleveland 2 weeks ago for Bar Mitzvah. I saw how a father benched his children. I'm telling you, it brought tears to my eyes. It was so warm and so loving how his head was on their head and he put his right hand on their head and the left hand around the shoulder and they had their hand on his shoulder and how they hugged and embraced every single child. Of course, if you do that when you start when the kid is 17, it's not going to work. But if you start when he's 2 and 3, well, my daughters today are married. They wouldn't miss a bracha. My sons-in-law, they wouldn't miss a bracha. Okay, my daughter-in-law, obviously I give a bracha, you don't touch them. But the idea is, how do you not give a bracha Friday night to children? And I think we should stop calling Friday night supper or Shabbos lunch. No such word. The Friday night suda. It's the Shabbos Suda. It's not Saturday night. One of the greatest things that I ever heard that Rapam said about Rabbi Reisman was that he turned Saturday night into Motzei Shabbos. That's what we should do. We don't talk anymore Saturday night fever, Saturday night live. That's not what we're into. Nobody knows what that means anyway. Right? So the idea is it should be Motzei Shabbos. And I'll tell you another thing. I hope nobody minds, especially the people upstairs. I mean the women. When you come home from shul on Shabbos, you don't dress down. How many times people that come home from shul on Shabbos, so they take off their suits. Okay, you're going to sit with a Shabbos a jacket, a tie, or even without a jacket. But you don't get into clothes that you wouldn't be seen wearing in shul. If it's a fancy robe, it's a different thing. But what message are you sending? That you got dressed so the people in shul should see how you dress? But then when it comes to the Shabbos suit, you're not dressed that way? Shabbat HaMalkah, that's the Kedusha of Shabbat. Take a story and analyze it. Take a Shiloh that you heard the Rav speak about. Take a piece of Agadah that you learned in Daf Yomi. A father should prepare for Shabbat just like a mother should prepare. Oh, we know a mother should. Every mother prepares. The father should also prepare during the week. Make it, not that you fall asleep. Sleep Friday afternoon if you have to. Come home early from work. But Friday night is the time when you bond with Kedusha. Just want to end with this thought. Rav Segal has a tremendous voice. He says that in Slichas we say, Ashamnu mikol om. Many people, he says, make a mistake. And they think Ashamnu mikol om means that we have sinned more than any nation. He says that's not what it means. Ashamnu mikol om means that we have sinned because we have been influenced mikol om. Hafla v'fela. On Yom Kippur, we are going to read, by Mincha, we read the Parsha of Aroyot, illicit relationships. Why do you read about illicit relationships on the holiest day of the year? So the Megillah Lamed Aleph, the Gemara tells us, Rashi says of Pshat, because the Indian of Aroyot, many people on this show, they have a tremendous passion, so Yom Kippur, you have to remember, you have to do tshuva on that. Taisa says a different reason because the women are dressed nice. You shouldn't have to show them come to an Aveira. I think there's a different reason as well. Obviously what Rashi and Taisa say, but perhaps another reason as well. Rashi tells us, Kedoshim Tiyu Perushim in Aroyot. Every single time when Kedusha is there, you have to separate yourself from illicit relationships, from dirty jokes, from dirty thoughts. And perhaps, once and for all, people have to understand that television is a place where we get so many dirty thoughts and dirty jokes and terrible sarcasm against parents and violent acts as if that's what's going to solve all the problems. That's why we read, perhaps, on Yom Kippur about Aroyot, because it's a day of Kedusha. And if we want to make our days of Kedusha, then perhaps what we have to make sure is to try to bring less of the immorality in our home. And if you can't get rid of the TV here in New York, many people have already, but obviously this video is going across the country, then at least moderate it. At least in Elul, and I say you make tshuva, make up 2-3 days, you're not going to watch it. Not that it sits in the middle of the living room, put it someplace else. Minimize it. I can just tell you, I don't have a TV. A few weeks ago, I was at a car mechanic. The guy says, I'll fix you, Rabbi, I'll take care of it right away. You just wait in the waiting room, 20 minutes, it'll be okay. So I had a safer there. Couple going in there, they're sitting there, they're watching TV. This was 11 o'clock in the morning. After 15 minutes, I was so humiliated. I was so embarrassed about what they were talking. I had to walk out. The reason it took 15 minutes, because 7 minutes were advertisements. But it's just unbelievable. That's in the morning. So what do you think is in prime time? You know, they say a great expression, a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? I can just tell you, if your kids see pictures on our chair for a half hour of all these type of lifestyles that we are against, that the Torah is against. They need millions. Where's they going to get the millions of words to battle that picture that's worth 1,000 words? As I told you, I don't have a TV, but unless you are in another planet, you have to know that there was a show that was watched last Sunday night by 40 million people. And one maneuver, Mamish the maneuver, he survived. Right? Survivor. So we all know about that, right? So the next day on CBS, there was a guy from Harvard that was talking about the essence of television, and these are his exact words. He said, you know why 40 million people watched it? Because that show was the essence of TV. Stupid, silly, and compelling to watch. No, I ask you, you want to be in that group? Who's stupid, silly, but compelled to watch? What is it, an addiction? You have no control? Besides that, it makes all of us and our children so unhappy, because unless you have the right beer and the right shoe and the right soda and the right detergent and the right game and the right car, how could you be happy? If you don't have the Toyota and you're not jumping up in the air, how could you be happy? If you're not like Mike, right? So how are you going to score the basket? Right? If you don't have those Nike sneakers. So I want to tell you, grab another person in Toronto who spoke about, a woman spoke, she also monitors the media. She said, you know what the headlines are? If it bleeds, it leads. Catastrophe. Sensationalism, that's what it's all about. So there's a tzaddik, you should write down his number, Ephraim Applebaum. He has a TV awareness program. He has cassettes that he can give you and a whole set. And so many schools and so many homes are involved. The number in Toronto you should call him is 905-881-8438. Contact him. He'll teach you what to do with your children besides television. He'll tell you about sports. Get your kids involved in sports. Play sports with them. Let them learn a musical instrument. Let them read some great books out there, I can tell you personally. And spend some time with the kids. And then there's another thing. Eli Teitelbaum. Rav Eliyahu Teitelbaum. What in the world is that guy going to think of next? The chusin that he has from Dialadaf and Dialashare. Listen what they have now. Per Communication Network. If you have a TV and you want to get rid of it, not an old thing that you haven't been using. But if you're going to get rid of it, you get a free shot. Here's the number. 718-436-4999. Trade in your TV for a free shot. Not an art school shot, Tanninim shot. But the idea is, it's got to be a TV that you are looking at. And you get rid of it. There are people out there who want to help you. And one more thing, those of us who have to have internet for whatever reason, and that's a whole different discussion, but it's not for now, there's screensavers. I've seen a screensaver. I'm so proud. My son-in-law, Hananya Kramer, Baltimore, put it together for Torah Masorah. Gedolim. Mamish Gedolim, the most beautiful pictures that a guy in Denver, Eddie Bernstein, put together. And it's one after the other. Every 10 seconds, another gobble. I'm telling you, it's hard to look at stuff that you're not supposed to look at on the internet when Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is staring you in the face. So if you want to get that, just call St. Louis, because now I told them I'm going to talk about it, so they have a bunch of five different inspirational screensavers. Eretz Yisrael, the Gedolim is the greatest one. 314-863-5010. Again, 314-863-5010. Let's review everything quickly, and then we're going to end with a great thought. Let's remember what Rav Samson Fuller has told us about Toivu. Good is important, not beautiful. Arozim, because Arozim was from Yankov and from Avraham Avinu all the way back, because Kedusha starts in the beginning. Bayis Neman B'Yisrael means Neman. Every talent that you have, the extraordinary and the regular, you use for the sake of Kiddushim Shemayim, for the Migdash Ma'at, as the Satmar Rebbe told us. Beis Yankov, set the atmosphere. How do you set the atmosphere? Surround yourself with mitzvahs. Let the kids see how you bench and how you daven and how you say tillim. Learn in front of the children. Otherwise, Chas V'Shalom, it's like that person that Yaakov Van saw. The kids never saw him learning. They went off to Derech. Lane Krishma with the kids. Tell them a story at night. That should be part of your daily routine. Sitting in the sukkah. Chavivus HaMitzvah. Understanding what Arya Levine told us. That a wife is a home. The Chula Makavlin. Let's not have tension in our homes. No yelling so you hear it outside. Let's remember that beautiful story with Rapam's mother. The Zizkite. Warm hearts, not hot heads. If you walk into the house, the first thing you should say is something positive. Let's remember consistency. Miyomai, whatever mitzvah you do, take it and let your children see that you're erlach with that. Let's remember honesty. So many people never cheat in business and they want their kids to be honest. The kids know, they know. They may not say anything to you, but they know the truth. Let's not be like Ephraim, that we make money and we're left thriving only with the $400. But we should fulfill our full potential. And make the Gedolim walking right in the front, wall-to-wall Torah. Don't worry about wall-to-wall carpeting. Torah Tata LaTeva. Let's invite singles. Invite the Almonas. Invite Chachomim. Let's remember Shabbos is the Makar HaBrocha. A house is not a classroom. It's a place where you bond. Bench the kids. Sing with them. Discuss with them a Shaila, a story, a Chazal, a Medrash. Mitzvah notes. A father should prepare as well. Bench the kids. Let's remember, Hashem Mikolom, we live in America, it's a great country, but we're so influenced by the outside, let's not bring in that television into our home, and if somebody has it, let's moderate it, at least during that Thursday May Tshuva. Let's remember, that group, Ephraim Applebaum, 905-881-8438 in Toronto, call him, he'll help you, he'll help your school, set up a whole program for them, and as we said again, that beautiful screensaver, 314-863-5010. Just want to end with this thought. A number of years ago, there was a grandfather who told me the story. He came to Muncie to see how his grandson was going to put on tefillin for the first time. He comes into the yeshiva Spring Valley. He's so awed by everything that's going on there, and he starts crying. He's watching his grandson, and he starts crying. So the Rebbe, who first told me the story, goes over to this guy, and he says to him, I see that you're so moved, such a beautiful thing that you're zeichah to see your first grandson putting on tefillin. He says, Rebbe, it has nothing to do with this. He says, I was in the Vilna ghetto. I'm one of the youngest survivors of the Vilna ghetto. And I remember
after the war, it came Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Simchas Torah. And then at that time, we wanted it there, make our coffers, but there were no Torahs. They were all burned, they were all ripped, we had nothing. And all the old men were standing around in shul. And all of a sudden, through the back door, a young couple came in. We never saw them. They had two little children. And the grandfather told me that the little girl, her vocal cords were not developed because she had been in hiding all this time. And so therefore, they never let her talk above a whisper. And the old men, when they saw those kids, they said, now we know what we're going to do. And they each took a child, and they each danced around, slowly, around the bima, because they said, every child is a Lebedeke Sefer Torah. And he said, when I come to the yeshiva of Muncie, and I see hundreds of Bachrim, Yeshiva Spring Valley, and I see hundreds of Bachrim, I never thought that I would be zeicha to see hundreds of Lebedeke Sefer Torah. That's why I'm crying, not because of my grandson. The Torah tells us, Zoya tells us, I feel a Sefer Torah Shebeheichol has to have mazel. Our children are Sefer Torah. They need mazel, just like the Sefer Torah needs mazel, because there are a lot of them that you don't even use the whole year. Mazel, Rav Shmuel, Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky once told me, stands for Mokayim Zman Loshen. If you're in the right place, at the right time, and you say the right thing, that's mazel. That's what we have to be there for our children. We have to be there for them, Mokayim. You have to spend time with them, Zman. You have to say the right things. That's how you're going to give them Kedusha. Who's writing this Sefer Torah? Who's writing this Sifrei Torah? Where are those children? Where's Aaron Kodesh of those kids? We are the scribes. We are the Seferim who are writing the plot of life for our children. And their Aaron Kodesh is our home. Let us write the plot with Kedusha so that we should be Zoicha, that the Eibush in turn will write our plot for the next year. Because Veinu B'Sefer HaChayim, we should all be zeichet to be written with a tziv of achsima tzeiva. We should write for Kedusha, and the Eibushter will write us l'chaim tzeivim. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.
To clarify about the screensaver from Torah Masorah, Torah Masorah has a division which is called the Creative Learning Pavilion, and the one that one would speak to get the screensaver is Mrs. Donna Zephrin. And once again, her number in St. Louis is 314-863-5010. There is a small...